Excelență, domnule ambasador, vă mulțumim mult că ați acceptat să acordați acest interviu pentru Radio Europa Liberă și, pentru început, am vrea să ne spuneți dacă credeți cumva că e cu șanse încercarea autorităților de la Chișinău să facă în 22 de ani ceea ce a făcut SUA în 100 de ani.
Valentina, first of all, I want to thank you for inviting me to be here today. You know, I'm a huge fan of Radio Liberty, and over the years I've listened to it a great deal, and it's an honor for me to be on the program. Moldova has done a lot in the last 22 years, and I think Moldova should be proud of the progress it has made toward becoming a free and democratic European state. You know, given its short history, it has made remarkable progress, and that's particularly notable by the way it conducts its elections, because the way it has a real, true freedom of speech. You know, in Moldova, people have the freedom of at the ballot box, and they also have the freedom to say exactly what they think about every politician and about every issue confronting the country. And when I look at these things, I think in 22 years, Moldova has made a tremendous and impressive amount of progress.
În acest moment există o scindare puternică a populației din motive politice preponderent, un lucru similar Statelor Unite ale Americii, dar Moldova e o țară totuși mult mai mică și această segmentare a societății împiedică edificarea unui stat puternic. Ce trebuie să facă guvernanții, clasa politică, ca să unească societatea?
Well, I think instead of asking what the political class should do, let's first of all ask what the people of Moldova want. The people of Moldova want a more stable, more prosperous nation that can deliver economically for them. And if the political leadership listen to what the people of Moldova want, I think the country can have success. And now, when I say what they want, that's true across all party divisions.
Domnule Mozer, și totuși în opinia dumneavoastră, credeți că Moldova e o țară dificilă din punctul de vedere al relațiilor între politicieni? Instabilitatea politică uneori dă dureri de cap, provoacă dureri de cap.
Well, I actually have very, very good relations with politicians of all the political parties. I have good and solid discussions with the communists, the socialists, the liberal democrats, the democrats, and the liberals, and whether they're in power or out of power, the United States has always had productive warm relations with the political parties and political leadership in Moldova. I think that this is a good sign that we have a country where we can have good, serious discussions that are in the interest of both our country and in the interest of Moldova.
Credeți că e o problemă ca și în Moldova și în SUA, campaniile electorale se referă în special la persoane și mai puțin la problemele care trebuie să fie soluționate pentru țară și cetățeni?
Well, you know, there's always a lot of criticisms about democracies. And, you know, Winston Churchill once said that democracy is the worst form of government except when compared to all the other forms of government. People in Moldova have the power of the ballot box, and they can choose to have and demand the kind of electoral campaign they have, just like the people in the United States can. And if the people of Moldova don't want the campaigns to focus on personalities, they can express that through their popular will, through their own organization of parties, and then actually at the ballot box.
Pe parcursul șederii dumneavoastră în Republica Moldova, ați reușit să vă creați o părere despre felul cum se dezvoltă economia națională?
Well, the Moldova economy is growing, and statistics show that, but it's not growing as well as it could. What could Moldova do in order to improve its economic prospects? Well, one of the obvious things is keep on its path toward reforms required for its integration into the greater European market and the greater European space. And most importantly in that regard is to actually seriously tackle justice sector reform and eliminating corruption. You know, if you look at the one thing that holds business development back in Moldova, it is the amount of corrupt behavior on the part of officials and judges in the country. Now, other countries have had to deal with this corruption problem as well, and we still have corruption problems in the United States. But if the people of Moldova have a zero tolerance for corrupt behavior, this can be eliminated. Now, why is that important for businesses? Because then people will want to invest in Moldova. Because businesses, whether they're foreign investors or whether they're Moldovans, don't want to invest in the country if they think the process is rigged against them. Businessmen don't mind competing, but what they don't want to do is get their resources taken away from them because of some corrupt decision. So if you really want to improve the country's economic prospects, you'll really work on the corruption problem. And I urge all Moldovan citizens to think about this.
Washingtonul acordă susținere importantă pentru combaterea acestui flagel care este corupția. Într-un interviu pentru ziarul de gardă, dumneavoastră a spus că judecătorii au o mare problemă, corupția. Au înțeles ei oare acest mesaj? Se simte această diminuare a gradului de corupție în societatea moldavă?
It's not the judges that need to get the message first. It's the people of Moldova that need to get the message first. Because essentially they have to demand from the judges what they think is the proper behavior by them. You know, one of the things I said in that interview, and it's something that I think bears repeating, is that judges or policemen or the prime minister are all public servants. These people are ones that are supposed to serve the public interest and not their own individual interest. Now, we talk a lot about judicial reform because we're heavily invested in that sector. And perhaps our largest investment in that sector was the case management system that we purchased for Moldova with around $25 million of assistance in 2009. The case management system is the way that we record all of the transactions among judges and how the courts operate. It also, very importantly, has two features that are very important to reducing corruption. One is the random case management system, wherever the cases are not assigned according to what the judge wants, but is according to a logarithm which determines that judges will not get cases by who they are, but by a random process. But the second part of this is that there's an audio and even a video component that allows for all the proceedings of the court to be recorded so that people can see what's going on over the internet, can see what's going on in the courts. Now, many times you'll hear judges say, well, I don't want to use the case management system. And I say to that it's up for the people to demand to say, why don't you want to use it? Is it that you don't like the computer program, or is it that you don't want to have your cases subject to public review? And I think that's where we are really in the point about the case management system and so many aspects of judicial sector reform. The people have to say is, we don't want it to be like it was, we want it to be different. And the case management system is just one very, very important example of this.
Dar e mare diferența între activitatea unui magistrat în SUA și activitatea unui judecător în Moldova?
Well, I think that judges in our country realize that they work for the people. And I can't say about Moldovan judges, but I can say that our judges are very focused on the fact that they are employees of the government and that they are there to serve the public interest. And they have good training in the law, and I think Moldovan judges have good training in the law, but our judges are dedicated to making sure that they have a fair, unbiased judicial process that decides cases based on the facts.
Domnule ambasador, cum vedeți poziția Chișinăului ca partener al Statelor Unite ale Americii aflat în apropierea unei Rusii care acționează agresiv când îi dictează interesele, inclusiv în această regiune?
Well, Valentina, you know, we have supported Moldovan independence and sovereignty for 22 years, and we will continue to support it. As I said before, I'm very happy that Moldova has developed, admittedly still incipient, but still very definite democratic institutions that serve the will of the Moldovan people. Moldova is an independent country, and it's up to Moldova to defend its own interests. And it is also up to Moldova, and what we want to see is Moldova have good relations with all its neighbors, just like we try to have them with all of our neighbors.
Ce se întâmplă cu integrarea Moldovei în spațiul Uniunii Europene acum?
Well, I'm very optimistic. because I think that Moldova has made, during my tenure here as ambassador, has made exceedingly good progress toward its European integration agenda. And I think the future of what that integration agenda promises is very, very bright. You know, if you look at the countries that have joined the European Union over the last 20 years, they have seen tremendous growth in their GDP, in their job prospects, and in their exports. And I feel that that is the future that can be true for Moldova as well. Now, that said, it means that there are some very tough decisions about reforming Moldova internally that have to be made in order for Moldova to achieve those European integration goals. But I think if the people of Moldova are consistent and supportive in the choice of their government and in terms of advocating for a European path, that Moldova too can obtain this prosperity.
Între timp, Uniunea Euroasiatică ar putea să apară ca o alternativă Uniunii Europene. Țările din parteneriatul estic sunt șantajate să renunțe la parcursul european în favoarea celui euroasiatic. Se duce o luptă acum, domnule ambasador, între est și vest pentru a domina situația din regiune?
Well, all of the countries in the Eastern Partnership are sovereign states, and it's up for each individual country, including Moldova, to make its own decision according to the wishes of it, its own people. So it's really up for the people of Moldova to decide. And it's not really a competition, it's a democratic choice.
Emisarul rus Dmitri Rogozin a avertizat Republica Moldova că vectorul pro-european ar putea duce la pierderea pentru totdeauna controlului asupra regiunii separatiste Transnistria, iar relația energetică cu Rusia să devină și mai costisitoare. Cum ar trebui să reacționeze autoritățile de la Chișinău la aceste declarații ale oficialilor ruși?
Well, Moldova is an independent country, and I trust the Moldovan leadership to act in what is in the best interest of Moldova and the Moldovan citizenry. And I think that the government leaders have to deal with situations that they have and make the right decisions. And I have trust in them that they can do that.
Excelență, domnule Mosdar, decizia Armeniei de a se alătura Uniunii Vamale conduse de Rusia ar putea să se răsfrângă cumva asupra Moldovei?
Well, I think that's a question to ask the Moldovan leadership about, not necessarily ask me. But as I've said before, you know, Armenia's choice is a choice of a sovereign nation, and that's up for the Armenian people and its leadership to decide.
Și dacă Rusia a dat această lovitură, Yerevanul aderând la planul lui Putin, cum vedeți viitorul parteneriatului estic?
Well, I think let's wait for the next couple months and see how things work out for the Eastern Partnership. I think you have to applaud the European Union for working so hard to work with the states in the Eastern Partnership to try to give them to try to lead them down a path of economic and political reform that we believe that can be very beneficial to their countries. And so I think that it's too soon to make a definite judgment about about this, but I think that for Moldova, the Eastern Partnership has been a very positive thing. I don't think that we would have had so many of the reforms that we've seen in Moldova over the last couple of years if there hadn't been the Eastern Partnership. So I applaud the European Union for engaging in this very, very important political endeavor.
Domnule ambasador, Statele Unite ale Americii discută cu Federația Rusă despre problema transnistreană?
Well, yes, we do. You know, we are an observer to the 5+2 process, which is the solution or the mechanism we have to find a final solution to the Transnistrian conflict. Now, I was very encouraged last year in Dublin, where all of the OSCE ministers, the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe ministers, all agreed on what the final status will be. And that was Russia and Ukraine and the United States and all the other EU and all the other members of the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. They said very simply that Transnistria was to have a special autonomous status within the territorial integrity of the Republic of Moldova. We know what the final solution is. We need to keep negotiating in order to find the way to get there.
Da, cu excepția formatului de negocieri 5 plus 2, Statele Unite poate, mai pot contribui și altfel pe, la reunificarea Republicii Moldova?
You know, my counterparts are the people I work with in the State Department in Washington. And I, here in Moldova, work with Moldovan officials and with Transnistrian officials and with all the parties involved in 5 plus 2 to urge compromise on both sides. Because it's only through compromise that we will find the way to find that solution whereby Transnistria can be reintegrated into the territory of the Republic of Moldova. And it, sometimes the compromises may be difficult, but it's through that, by recognizing that there that what the final goal is, that we think that we can actually find a way to see this happen.
Cum vedeți rolul bisericii într-un stat laic ca și Republica Moldova?
Well, I think the best way for me to answer this question is to talk about the church in the United States. Because, you know, we're a secular state as well. As and I think the Republic of Moldova is supposed to be a secular state. Well, you know, if we look at the role of the church in our society, it has a very prominent role. Because when we think of any one institution that's more important to our civil society, that institution would be the church. Now, it's not just one church, it's actually a multitude of faiths. And from the church, we get our values, which says that all individuals are equal before God, and therefore all individuals deserve to be treated equally by their government. In other words, our belief in religion, our very strong belief in religion, is the source for our very strong belief in human rights. And, you know, we say this because basically this is the way our republic was founded. Now, at that founding, Thomas Jefferson, our third president, was a very, very smart man. He said that in order for religion to be strong in the United States, there needs to be a firm wall between religion and the state. And as a result, we have enshrined in our Constitution a firm wall of separation between what the state does and what the religion does, or what the church does. And the reason why our founding fathers were particularly aware of this was that they had looked at the experience in Europe at the time and saw that the church's interference in the affairs of state were very detrimental both to the state and to religion. Now, the reason I go into this long explanation about this is, you know, people in the United States go to church. We have one of the highest rates of church attendance in the world. Well, the reason why is that because we have a separation between our political life and our church life, we believe that both have flourished, and that we have a strong democracy where the values of the church, the equality of individuals is emphasized, and we have a flourishing religious sector that where the values of religion are enshrined within individuals. And I think both have really prospered from this situation.
Da, vizita Patriarhului Kiril în Republica Moldova ar putea să aibă și o conotație politico-religioasă.
Well, I think you need to ask the Moldovans that question. That's not one that I can really answer, because it's not really one for us to answer. But I will say this. You know, religion is important to our society, and it's important to Moldovan society. But at the same time, we realize that religion has to give us the values that can make us a better democracy. And the core of that value really is our belief in human rights.
Ce rol trebuie să joace religia în promovarea agendei pentru respectarea drepturilor omului în societate?
Well, you know, if you look at our church leaders in the United States, they have always been at the forefront of saying that individual rights must be protected. In our current debate about illegal immigrants in the United States, it's our church leaders who are at the forefront of saying that immigrants must be treated fairly, despite what the laws of the United States say. And if you look at our history of back in the 1960s, that blacks citizens of the United States truly became equal citizens of the United States because of the role of the church in emphasizing that they too were entitled to equal rights. So we have a long history of where the church has been really involved in trying to emphasize that that rights are important for all individuals. And if I could add one further example, even today, many times when the United States has its own interest in foreign policy about relations with country, the church is always advocating to look at what the churches in the United States are always advocating to look and see how policies affect individuals and to make sure that our government considers the human rights in every country in the world.
Cum se poate și cum ar trebui să fie combătută discriminarea în societate?
How can it be removed? People have to want it to be removed. You know, Moldova's made some good progress here, and they passed a good anti-discrimination law in 2012. But I have a message, really, for the people of Moldova that I say over and over again. You know, Moldova it needs economic development, and it needs a strong democracy. And the only way that you get that is by not discriminating against people. You know, it's very interesting that in the United States over the last 100 years, we have had millions of immigrants from Europe who brought their talents. Many of these became the most successful scientists, successful composers, successful musicians, great leaders of our academic institution. And why did they come to the United States? Because of the persecution that they experienced in Europe. Our society profited from emphasizing diversity and being a welcoming to people of all stripes. Now, Moldova is a multi-ethnic, multilingual society, and we believe that it can find diversity through strength, just like we have found strength through diversity. In other words, that Moldova can use the talents from all the individuals in its society, make use of those, and become a more prosperous, more democratic state.
Domnule ambasador, comportamentul comisarului european Ștefan Fiule și al dumneavoastră, care ați fost în susținerea homosexualilor, a fost dur criticat de unii ca fiind o ingerință agresivă în politica internă a Moldovei. Ați avut o reacție? Cum ai reacționat și astăzi la ceea ce s-a scris și s-a spus?
Well, I am proud to say, as an American official and as a proud citizen of the United States, that we will stand for human rights in every country in the world. And we believe the right of people to assemble, the right of people to free speech, and to live their lives in peace is our fundamental human rights that we will advocate in any country of the world.
Dumneavoastră sunteți cel care ați spus că lumea ar trebui să cunoască cine sunt patronii trusturilor media. Ce părere aveți despre presa din Moldova?
Well, you know, I think that Moldova should be proud of its press because it has a robust press where many different points of view are reflected. But as I have said publicly before, transparency in media ownership is important and people need to know who is actually paying for the media outlet or the media voice so that they can make a decision about how much credibility to give that particular point of view. Similarly, we have been on the front lines of advocating for a plurality of views, and tools of the state should not be used to limit the number of media outlets and the number of points of views that are reflected in those media outlets.
Ce mesaj aveți pentru cetățenii Republicii Moldova?
Stay engaged in the political process. Make your political leaders do what you want them to do. Don't let them tell you what you think. You tell them what you think. And express that through your own political activism and particularly through the ballot box. Moldova can have a brighter and more successful future if its citizens stay engaged in the political process and really shape the future that they want to have.
Thank you very much.